Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the full year results 2021 conference call. I'm Moira, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Pier Andrea Comoglio, Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the lastminute.com full year 2021 results call. Together with me, we have got Fabio Cannavale, founder and CEO of lastminute.com, Andrea Bertoli, CEO and COO of lastminute.com, and Sergio Signoretti, our CFO. I hand over to Fabio for an introductory.
Hello, good morning to everybody. I'm very happy to be here for this call. We have this 2021 was another very challenging year, but the results are much better than 2020. And especially in the second half of the year, notwithstanding the Omicron, we are back to profit. And as you will see later, 2022 started very well, and we are going a very good volume of sales, even if there is a war in Ukraine. We came out of the COVID in these two difficult years much stronger than before. We didn't need any capital increase because we had a very strong financial structure, so we can support all the refund and the losses of last year with our own resources. We didn't do any redundancy and layoff. We have to thank all the team that worked with us, because at the end, the work was massive in the last year. We had some people in, let's say, part-time, supported by the local government, but some people work a lot because we had to manage all the refunds. We managed in these 2 years 1 million of refunds for much than 400 million of money give back to our customers. And at the end today, we have a more efficient cost structure. We have a smaller office. And we have saved some costs, and so this is we are a linear structure for the future. And of course, we also use these years to improve our process. For example, all the change, the reimbursement, we use a lot of artificial intelligence for also the customer care and our internal process to be more efficient. Then in last year, also, we have a partly new shareholder structure. The co-founder, Marco Corradino, as you all know, left last year. We have a new shareholder coming in. And also the board of director was reinforced with a new board member that also decided in a difficult moment to buy also shares and support us. We keep investing on our people. Our people is our core asset. We have two assets at the end, technology and people. People is the more important because also the technology is done by people. We had this year a massive program of hiring developers. So we are hiring more than 100 developers all over the world, because this is the world. This is very good that most of the developers now want to work remote. So it's very easy for us to hire developers everywhere where we can find good developers. And this is also the same for customer care people. We have a lot of people there. And we have a lot of people working from remote, also in the customer care. We have a flexible working model. Then people can be remote or also in presence. We think also presence sometimes is very important. And so we try to get the people all together every few weeks. And then we also to reward all our team, we started a new stock appreciation plan that we did also last year. Last year, as you remember, we did at 25. This year, the stock that we didn't use, we cancel, and we think we did a new stock position price at the average price of the last 2 weeks, that is around 36 francs per share. We think that this is very important because in the market it's very difficult now to keep and to attract the top talent. We think we gave in the last year with the COVID a very good reward to our shareholders, and by the way, the new stock appreciation plan, the 65% of this plan will be effective only when the share is 60, so almost three times of the price of 2 years ago. And so we think that when we give this kind of return to the shareholder, it's good that we give a good reward also to the people. We are an entrepreneurial company, led by an entrepreneur, and we want that our people and our team have an entrepreneurial spirit. And the way to have that is to give us some stocks and to have skin in the game. Then we have, in 2022, significant growth opportunity. All the people we see, even if there are a few flights, we have almost at the level of 2019. So we are increasing market share because we are still a very, very strong volume, despite there are not yet all the flights, but we are confident that in the summer, the volume will go further. And the customer habit also changed a lot. The offline travel, especially in dynamic packages, is our core business. It's going down. Travel agency, a lot of they closed. We see a huge opportunity in dynamic package where still a lot of the business is offline, and we see a big trend in online, and for this we have a massive growth in this segment. So, and last point, we decided not to give dividend, but to do buyback program. We started the buyback program. For the moment, we approved the board 20 million of investment in that. Basically, it's the most efficient way fiscally to give a dividend, so all the shareholders can decide if they want to sell a part of the share, so getting a dividend, or just in a way don't do nothing and reinvest, because in the moment we are doing buyback, we are, let's say buying share, and so everyone will have a better share and a higher share of the company. So I give the word to Andrea that will give you the presentation of where are we going, and then to Sergio that give the results of last year.
Thank you, Fabio. Thank you very much. I will try to go briefly through a few points that I think very important to explain before diving into the numbers of last year and what is our current trade. Basically, first of all, it's important to explain that lastminute.com is a European travel tech. We are a leader in a dynamic holiday package, which is a very important segment in the market and a segment that has been disrupted by technology. Our story started in 2004 in Italy when there was the startup of Vola Gratis. It was a service that was focusing on comparing price of low-cost and traditional airlines. We grew throughout the years via acquisition and organically. In 2011, there was a big acquisition of Rumbo, that was the market leader in Spain and Portugal, that doubled the size of the company. In 2014, so 10 years after the IPO, we went public on the Swiss stock market. And the year after, we acquired the lastminute.com, that again doubled the size of the company and substantially changed the nature of the business, moving away from the flight business and focusing and growing more and more the holiday package business. As you can see on the slide 8, this is a comparison of what was the business mix before the acquisition of lastminute.com, so in 2014, where 96% of the contribution margin of the group was coming from flight. And what is in 2021 is now a very different company with 57% of the contribution coming from holiday package and 13% coming from other services, mainly hotel and rental. This trend will keep on becoming stronger and stronger because, as we've been stating already in many investor calls and in all the communication we do, we are convinced that we have a very strong position in this segment, which we believe is very important because we have a unique technology that is considered one of the best in the European market. And it, what is important to highlight, and you can see on slide 10, the dynamic holiday packages is bringing value in the distribution chain, both to the suppliers and the consumers. It's very important for the suppliers because we are seen as a partner of the supplier, a distribution channel, and not a competitor, as it often happens when you are distributing the individual services that the supplier prefers to sell direct. And we are offering to the suppliers an opaque channel where they can distribute their inventory, protecting the pricing integrity on their direct channel, and they can manage this in real time. So compared to a traditional tour operator that agrees a fixed rate throughout the season with allotment and so on, we work only real time. That means that the supplier can decide in every single moment whether they want to have a more aggressive pricing if their occupation rate is not good, or if they want to price at a premium if their occupancy is really good. This fact gives us the possibility also to give a good value to the consumer, because we are able with this technology to offer a very personalized and flexible solution to every customer. We don't have a defined catalog of vacation with a given destination and duration and start date. It's the customer that makes a search, defining himself where he wants to go, for how many days, and when to depart. So very flexible, very personalized offering. And it's important that you can do it with a single touch point. So the convenience and the peace of mind is very important for the consumer. A consumer experience during COVID, the cancellation or disruption can change plans. When you buy a package, you are protected financially by the travel director, so you are sure that you get your refund in case of cancellation or disruption, and you don't need to manage by yourself all the different parts of the package or the travel that you booked. The fact that our technology is very good in the market is proven by our trend in the B2B2C partnership segment. This is a business line we started in 2019 and has been growing really significantly over the last year as a share of the total dynamic holiday package revenue. You see, say, here in the slide 11, some of the partners we have. So we are partnering and providing our technology to other OTA, to Booking.com, to Holiday Pirates. But we are offering this technology also to hotel chains or frequent flyer program like Mille Miglia in Italy. So not only the technology is important, but it's important also to understand that we're addressing a very huge market. Travel market in Europe before COVID was estimated at 300 billion euro. And it's very fragmented, because if you take the top 10 players, so including us, but including also some giants like Booking.com or Expedia, the combined share of the top 10 players is only 30% of the market. It's a market where there are a lot of niche players, and it's a market where the shift from online, from offline to online is changing the dynamic and giving a lot of opportunity to a player like us that are 100% online. Talking about the recovery, we all keep on reading market research and studies from different sources. What we want to highlight on the slide 13 is that even if the total travel market is not expected to recover at the pre-pandemic level before 2023, somebody even says 2024, I want to highlight that we compete in a segment of the total travel market. We compete on online leisure travel, so we are not impacted by the decrease in the spending for business travel, which is has been very big in the last year, but probably will take some time to recover. And we are competing only online, which is the segment that is recovering faster, because traditional high street travel agency have gone through a very difficult time, and especially the lockdown that was forced on the population across Europe during the last two years have accelerated the digitalization. A lot of sectors, from education to public service to shopping, had to move online simply because people couldn't meet in person. So there has been an acceleration that we see every day in the numbers that we enter. The other big advantage compared to some of our competitors is that we are very well diversified across the different and the major European market. As you can see on the slide 14, our first market in 2021 has been Germany, with a 23% share of total revenue, with France and UK very close to this level. This means that the five major core European market makes up almost 90% of our revenue, but the balance across market is very healthy in our opinion, and it gives us the possibility to generate a good result even if a specific market is suffering. As you know, 2021, the UK market has probably been the one most affected by the pandemic because of travel restriction. But this has been compensated in our case by very good results in Germany and France. Last slide from my part is the number 15, where we give you an historical trend of the daily contribution margin across the period from January 2029 till 3 days ago, 4 days ago, so the March 20th. This is to show what has been the impact on our results of the first COVID. When I started in February 2020, there was really the whole travel industry got to a halt, and all the airplanes across the world were grounded, so there was no business. So this was really tough, and it lasted for 3 months. You can see during summer 2020, there was a small rebound, but then the second and third wave of COVID had really another impact. As we see going towards the end of 2021 and especially the start of 2022, we see that the market is recovering and our results are improving very substantially. And despite the Omicron variant impact that outbreak in November, there was a strong impact, but very short in time. So it lasted only a month, basically a bit more than a month before the market picked up again. What we see in our data every day is that there is a huge pent-up demand. People have been locked at home. They couldn't travel. They couldn't see their parents. They couldn't take some time off with their family, with their beloved ones. And there is really a need from the people to travel and go back to some sort of normal life. Of course, the war in Ukraine is concerning all of us. It's a disaster for the people in Ukraine, for the people in Russia that are protesting against the war, for all the people in the world that are very concerned that this could escalate. But in terms of impact on the trading, So far, we didn't see any material change. Maybe a bit slow down in the expected growth for March, but as you can see in the graph, it's not really impacting materially our result. So I will now leave the word to Sergio, who will walk through you the 2021 results and give you also some preview of the Q1 2022 results, pre-closing results.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Andrea. Good morning, all. I will start from page 17. Just as a background, as Fabio was anticipating in his introduction, remember, 2021 has been another roller coaster year. Much better than 2020, though, but we had logically three phases. First 4 months, which were very weak, impacted by the lockdowns that we were still having in the initial period of the year. Then a good summer, very strong recovery from May to October. It has been a late summer for us. And then Omicron raised in the month of November. So the second half of November and December have been impacted by this. As a result, starting from page 17, our gross travel value has been 1.3 billion, which is a +21% versus 2020 and a -54% versus 2019. But more importantly, if you compare the revenues trend and if we take out January and February from both years, 2020 and 2021, considering that January and February in 2020 were not impacted by the pandemic, the overall level of revenues have been substantially double versus the year before, as you see in the percentage reported on the right. So 142 versus 74. Remember, going to page 18, that we have, as we said also last year, a very, let me say, very high, very low operating leverage. So we have a variable cost structure for 70% of our cost base. This is very, very important because it allows us to adapt basically our cost base to what is the business trend. So just 30% is substantially fixed, which is the composition of the HR cost and the other operating expenses, which are related to IT and facilities mostly. This has allowed both in 2020 and in 2021 to react to the swings of the business impacted to the pandemic. Remember also that we are a lot light in terms of assets in our business. We don't own airlines. We don't own accommodation structures, and this is another strength that accompanies the expansion on the holiday packages and dynamic packages business that Andrea was commenting before. As a result, going to page 19, which is representing the gross profit trend net of the variable costs that I was commenting before. We have closed 2021 at 69 million versus 59 in 2020, which apparently is a +17%, -54% versus 2019. But again, if you net out January and February figures from both years, we are double versus 2020, which we believe is a good result. Going to page 20. Page 20 represents the trend of our cost base and also the expectation of the two biggest chunk of the fixed cost base that I was anticipating before. So starting from the left, which represents the trend of gross HR cost. Gross of what? Gross of eventual subsidies that we have received in 2020 and 2021, for the various furlough and working hour reduction programs that we have access to in the various jurisdictions and market where we operate. So in 2021, we have been 22% less versus 2019, and this has been driven by lower count, not necessarily due to redundancies, as Fabio was anticipating, but due also to the market dynamics that we are now facing, rebuilding and investing strongly in hiring plans for technology talents. Fabio has already anticipated at the beginning there is a strong program in place where we're going to hire 130 plus developers and technology talents in order to strengthen our tech teams. So in 2022, we expect to raise approximately 20% the overall HR cost, progressively bringing up to similar levels to what we had pre-COVID. Whereas on the right part on the slide, you see the trend of the other operating expenses, which is where the strongest cost reduction actions have been done. In 2021, we have closed with approximately 50%, 45% less of the overall cost base versus what we were sustaining in 2019, 17 million versus 30, both on the IT side and on the overhead side. An immediate impact of the adoption of a smart working model, which Fabio was describing at the beginning, has been the strong reduction of the overall facilities. Today, we have 50% of the square meters in the various offices around the world, which versus what we were having in 2019. Here in 2022, we expect an increase because part of this cost will be, of course, especially on the IT side, related to manage bigger and stronger volumes, but the 21% gap versus 2019 will remain over time and represents approximately 1% of incremental EBITDA margin that we should expect going forward. Going to page 21. Page 21 represents the fact that we have gone back to positive EBITDA in 2021, despite the roller coaster. So you see, in first half, we were slightly above break-even. In second half, we have done approximately the whole EBITDA of the year, 18 versus 19, versus minus 3, which was the result of 2020. And even more importantly, if you look at the bottom line, at the bottom of the slide, the net result have gone from a minus 18 million euro of loss in first half, which again was impacted by 4 months of strong weak volumes, to 8 million positive net income in the second half, despite the rise of Omicron in the second half of November. As a result, the net loss for the year has been minus 10 versus minus 60 of 2020. We will now, in a minute, show what is the current trading trend, also in terms of bottom line. Going to page 22. Page 22 represents the usual cascade of our P&L. So starting from 19 million euro of EBITDA adjusted, which, as we explained in our press release and also in the annual report, is the combination of the profitability of the three business units, OTA, Meta, and Media, prior to eventually effects related to cancellations. So basically, the extraordinary items that you see there and amounting to 22 million are for the most part related to cancellations effect, still most of that relate to 2020. So it's the long tail of the COVID disruption that has affected to a portion also 2021. As a result, the IFRS EBITDA is at break-even in 2021. After that, of course, we need to deduct the depreciation and amortization. We have a positive effect on taxes, which is generated by the deferred tax asset, driven by the fact that the biggest operative companies are going to have a net loss position for 2021. As a result, net loss is minus 9.6, as we were anticipating before. If we go to page 23 represents the 2 years in a row on a monthly basis trend of gross and net cash. So you see that we have closed 2021 at 110 million euro gross cash. So I would say absolutely solid and strong level. Remember that we have that we are a cash generating business. So the more we grow, the more we generate cash. We cash in from our customers on average and the day after the booking date, and we pay our vendors, depending on which vendor we are talking about, between 15 days, if we talk about airlines, and 40 days, 45 days, if we talk about hotels. So the more we grow, the more we generate cash. Of course, when the business swings, which happened in March 2020, and also in first quarter 2021, we absorb cash. But the overall trend this year has been absolutely, I would say, under control, with peak of 150 million euro in the high season at the peak, I would say, of the recovery phase, which started in April. The net cash takes into account the overall financings that we have towards banks, which has very comfortable repayment terms in 4 to 5 years. The impact for 2022 will be in the region of 10 million euro overall repayments. Going to page 24. Page 24 represents the usual explanation of how cash has moved. Gross cash has moved between 2021 and 2020 and 2021. So I would highlight three components. 70 million euro is the impact in terms of higher cash generated from the recovery, which we have experienced between May and October. This has been compensated by the overall COVID refunds. COVID refunds include, for the biggest part, the utilization of vouchers that we have issued in order to allow our customer to be refunded. This has been a tremendous success. Every time the customer use a voucher, it generates upsell for us. So it generates incremental gross travel value on the new booking and incremental margin. This has compensated, in terms of cash, the positive change in net working capital. Despite the fact that 6 months of 2021 were still impacted strongly by COVID, we have repaid 18 million euro of financings, which is the other message that I think it's correct to highlight. So that we closed, as I was saying, with 110 million cash gross and 29 million euro cash net of mostly the 78 million euro loans from banks that we have in place and that have, as I was saying before, a quite comfortable repayment terms. So this was the part related to 2021. I think it's as already Fabio and Andrea have anticipated, it's interesting to give you a snapshot of how 2022 has started, starting from page 26, which represents the trend of the OTA revenues and contribution margin for the first quarter of 2022. January and February are actual figures, whereas March, of course, is an estimate, which is based on the current trading of the first 3 weeks. And the red line, the magenta line, represents 2022. Which I think it's useful to compare versus the green, which represents 2019. So you see that January started quite low. Remember, January for 2 weeks, for half of the month, has been impacted by Omicron. So the strong recovery have started from the second half of the month of January. And we have had a February almost very close to what was the 2019 level in terms of overall revenues. March is growing, but the difference versus, as you see, 2019 is in the region of approximately 10%, both at revenues and contribution margin level. But the growth is substantially steady, I would say. Remember, the OTA represents 90% of the overall revenues, margins, and profitability of the company. If we swing to page 27, which is the figures at group level that we expect from the first quarter, we are talking about an expectation of approximately 65 million euro of revenues and 26 million euro gross profit. We are expecting a fixed cost base leaner. Remember, today we don't have anymore any subsidies from the government. We are not anymore any, let me say, furlough scheme in place, 15% less versus the similar period of 2019. As a result, EBITDA, despite the first half of January, because again, January has been much lower with respect to February and March in terms of EBITDA generation, we are going to be between 9 and 10 million euro. So positive again, both in terms of EBITDA prior to cancellations, so the so-called EBITDA adjusted, and in terms of IFRS EBITDA, which takes into account the net cancellations effect, where we expect that in 2022, given if the situation remains this, we are not going to have a significant impact. This means a bottom line positive of 4 to 5 million concentrated in the month of February and March, given the fact that, again, January was impacted by Omicron, which is not far from what we were doing in 2019, where, as you can imagine, also January was a good month. So 6 million in 2019 means 2 million per month. 4 to 5 million in 2022 with a low January means a similar level of overall profitability. That's almost all on my side. Just a comment on page 28, which is referring to the cash. Of course, we had a positive trend of gross and net cash from January onwards. So the red curve represents instead the gross cash, the dotted one represents the net cash. We are going to close March significantly better in terms of upside, and it has a versus the end of the year. And of course, this is a totally opposite trend versus the one that we were having in 2021, where, of course, the COVID-19 was impacted strongly. So the level of cash that we are going to close will be higher than 140 million as of the end of March. That is actually all on my side. So I will give the word back to the operator in order to coordinate eventual questions that may arise.
The first question is from Johannes Wild from Wild Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hello, and congratulations to your good numbers. I have a question concerning you said in the beginning of February that the packaged holiday business was increasing, I think, 40% towards what it was in 2019. And the margins should be much higher than in the flight business. So I would have expected even a higher contribution than you had in 2019, in the months February and March. Why wasn't that the case? And the second question is, could you give an outlook what you would expect as EBITDA for 2022, at least a range? That would be very helpful. Thank you.
So first of all, we also expected March to be stronger than what we are reporting today. And actually, the current trade of the first 2 weeks of the month of March were stronger. The start of the war in Ukraine slowed the growth. So we didn't have a decline, but we didn't grow as much as we would expect given the seasonality. So I think that the concern that spread around Europe because of the war is holding back a bit of the demand. Not a lot, because as you can see here, the result of March are 10% higher than February, but I agree with your analysis that in a normal situation without the war in Ukraine, it would have been better. Regarding guidance for 2022, we don't give guidance. We are try to be as transparent as possible on the current trade, but as you can imagine, giving guidance in this market condition is not appropriate because we don't know how long will the war in Ukraine last, and this we don't know how much stronger the demand will come. As I said, we see any moment that the consumer are free to book, so they don't have concern about travel restriction or COVID, or they don't have concern about the cost of the gasoline, cost of the energy, cost of the war that is happening in Ukraine. We see that the demand, the pent-up demand, is very, very solid. There are some studies from the Central European Bank, but also the different national banks, that show that savings has increased a lot during the COVID period, so the saving from the family, because they couldn't go out for dinner, they couldn't travel, they couldn't. So there is the spending capabilities there, and the demand is there. We cannot give any guidance because we don't know what will happen in the coming month in Ukraine, and if there will be any other disruption in the coming month.
Okay, thank you.
There are no more questions at this time.
So, thank you very much. I hope we will have time also to meet in person with some of you and discuss on a call or in individual meetings if needed. As you know, Pierandrea, who is on the call today, is taking the role of Nicola Bossi, that left the company in the beginning of February. And he is the key contact person if you need anything from our side. We also launched today morning a new corporate website. It's corporate.lastminute.com. It's very new, so we will improve, iterate in the coming weeks to make it as clear as possible, the communication that we provide you and all the information that we give you to give a good understanding of our company and the trend and our vision about the future. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sergio, Pierre, for the great work, and Fabio, always, for being our leader in driving us to this very good result.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Andrea. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.